9 years. It doesn't seem like it's been 9 years since I've been here. And, you know, it's bad when you send out gospel meeting announcements to other congregations. And I appreciate that y'all have done that. Where our oldest daughter attends, and she has two children. We have a 7-year-old granddaughter and almost a 2-year-old grandson. And it's strange how you get older and you start talking a lot more about your grandkids. But sent the meeting announcement to their congregation, and our granddaughter walked by the meeting announcement, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks in a row before she realized that was her grandfather on the announcement. And I told Tim, you used the wrong picture. That doesn't even look like me. So I took one and drew a little bit on it to make it look more like me. And I joked before that I'm in the witness protection program. But nonetheless, I should have gotten him, made sure he had a more up-to-date picture. Let me ask you this. Are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? And are you sure? You know, oftentimes in our Christian lives, and we get into conversations with people, and even with one another sometimes, and that question will come up, you know, are you going to heaven? And you think about oftentimes how we respond to that. We respond back, and here's typically what we say. We say, well, I hope so. I think I'm going to make it. I hope I'm going to make it. And when you stop and you think about that answer, when you respond back in that manner, I'll submit to you our understanding of hope and our understanding of heaven isn't as perfect as it needs to be, as complete as it needs to be, as such. And, you know, places like Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, there specifically in verse 24, it tells us we are saved by hope. Does it not? And so I begin to understand hope is obligatory. The idea of my hope of heaven, and it carries with it also the idea of a confidence, an expectation, an anticipation maybe. As I live my life here on this earth, I have a confidence. I am going to go to heaven. I have that expectation at the end of this life, after living faithfully for the Lord and doing all I can in His kingdom, that I'll be able to go to heaven. And that should be our response, our attitude toward that. But oftentimes we become a little uncertain about it. But you can't go to heaven unless you have hope. And the question this morning is, do you want to go to heaven? And everybody here present should raise their hands. Say, yes, I want to go to heaven. But then when we ask, are you sure you're going to make it? Again, our hands should stay in the air. We should proudly say, I'm going to go to heaven and I know it for a fact. But yet, sometimes we have doubts about it. I've been at Fort Chiswell now almost 16 years. Actually, 16 years this month. And we have a lady, she's now in a nursing home. She's in her well into her 80s. And there was a time where just about every other month or every few months, she would come down to the front pew during the invitation, and that was her biggest fear. And she would always tell me when she came down, and I would talk with her about why she came forward, and she said, I just want to make sure. I'm not certain I'm going to make it to heaven. I have this doubt, this feeling, and of course we would pray with her, and I would continually assure her. And we need more lessons like this, like what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at John, and I call John the apostle of absolutes, especially 1 John. Have you ever taken your Bible, and don't do that this morning, stay with me, but take your Bible maybe this afternoon or tonight. If you haven't already, go through the book of 1 John, and you take a highlighter, you take a pen, and everywhere that the apostle John has used the word, in the King James it would be know or knoweth, knowing, using the idea of that word, the idea of the word K-N-O-W. And it will amaze you how many times that John uses that word, or the idea of that word, all throughout this book. He's the apostle of absolutes. And John tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can know that we're going to heaven. You're already in 1 John chapter 1, but go over to chapter 5. And I think this is a good springboard. And I want you to look at verse 13. And just see what John says there toward the end of this great little epistle that he writes, his book. And there in chapter 5, and you look at verse 13, and that's a verse I would highlight it in my Bible. That's a verse that every day would be, it's one of those I call that you copy and paste and put it on your bathroom mirror so you see it every morning while you're getting ready for your day, or you put it on your refrigerator in the kitchen, or both places for that matter. But what does John say? These things I have written unto you. Who is he writing to? Those who believe on the name of the Son of God. But then he's not done. He says that you may, what? Know that you have eternal life. That assurance, that expectation, that confidence that as they live their lives and they believe in Jesus Christ and they try to pattern their lives after him. I believe it's 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, 21, 22. He left us that example. We follow that example. We live Christ-like. We exemplify his life in every way as we live day in and day out. And then we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are no doubts in our mind. I heard a gospel preacher once put it this way. He says it's like making a speech. You remember, for many of us, a long time ago in high school, if you took speech class, and I hated that class. I hated getting up in front of people and talking. It just scared me to death back then. And it's the idea of if you know your subject and you know your topic, the better you know it, the easier it is to get up in front of other folks and talk about it. And you have that confidence. It helps you to get over that fear. Can we not do that? Do the same with our Christian lives and with the idea of going to heaven? Read and study our Bibles. Do it every day. And be prepared. The idea of knowing what God has said and being able to apply it to our lives. And then we can, as I would say, you can know that you know that you know that you know that you are going to heaven. And that's what John is talking about. And to have that idea that if today is my last day on the face of this earth and I do not live to see tomorrow, I have that assurance, that confidence that in the end I will be in heaven for all eternity. And so this morning, to help us to make sure we are sure, I want to share four things with you. Four things from the book of 1 John. Four things that if you take these four things and you write them upon your heart and you meditate upon them and you live them and you do them. And I'm not saying this is it and this is some magical formula, but these four things can help us to know that we have the assurance that if I leave this life, I can be in heaven someday for all eternity, to have that confidence and that assurance. And so I want to begin with in John chapter 1, and I want to say this, you can know that you know that you're going to heaven if you walk in the light. And immediately our minds run to verse 7, but I want to begin in verse 4 there in 1 John and lead up to that, because in verse 4, and John says, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. That's powerful to me, and it should be to you, that we are joyful as Christians. That we have joy in that confidence of going to heaven, and it should show all the time and every day in every aspect of our lives in every situation. I was excited to be here this morning. I was joyful. I was looking forward to being able to be here with you. I feel like I'm at home at Fort Chiswell in a way. And as a Christian, anywhere you go, you're never a stranger in the Lord's church. But our joy, do we show that joy? Is our joy full that we live a happy, excited, energized life? Because I know that no matter how bad it gets in this life, and no matter what's going on in the world and in our country and all the mess we look about us and see, ultimately God's in control, and ultimately I can be with Him for all eternity. Verse 4 says that to us. That's what John's talking about. The idea, if tomorrow doesn't come, I'll be in heaven for all eternity. That should bring us joy. Joy beyond understanding sometimes even. And then you go on in verse 5. This is a message which we have heard of him. And we declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And that's very important to lead us up to what verse 7 is going to tell us. Because you think about it. God, he is light. And there is no darkness with God. Now I think about in the summertime, our middle daughter, we have two grandsons that they come to Camp Nana. That's what we call Lanita, Camp Nana. And incidentally, my grandkids, I'll share this, you'll understand it. What am I to be called? And I'll tell them the Puddin' story. She wanted me to be called Puddin', and I put my foot down and said, no, we'd be Nana Puddin'. Ain't happening. And so we, you know, how you do as grandparents with your first grandchild, what will you be called? And they came up with Granddaddy, and I thought, okay, that's all right. And it got shortened down to Granddaddy. And so they called me Gita. And there's a really humorous story to go with that I'll share maybe at another time. But as such, our grandsons would come in the summertime. We would go out and run amok on our little property. We've got 3 acres out in the country. But I tell you what, when it got dark, we went in the house. Growing up as kids, most all of us, we'd go out and play until dark in the summertime, till mom and dad said, get in the house where there's safety, because you know what happens in the dark? You get hurt. You can fall down. You can run into stuff. And sometimes if you're out in the country, we hear coyotes. We have coyotes and foxes, and occasionally a bear will run through the property. It's not too often. But we understand in darkness there is danger. And so we want to stay away from darkness. And we can get in trouble with darkness. And you think about light, and you think about God, and you think about the idea of God and light and purity and righteousness and holiness. And that's what we need. And we, you know, at night, what do we do in our homes? We turn on lights. We may understand the layout of our living room and our bedroom and get around in our homes, but what do? We're going to turn on the light so we can see where we're going, so we don't trip over something or run into something. You get really hurt in the darkness. And so we cannot, as Christians, we cannot stay in darkness. And that's verse 6. Keep reading. Let me move on. In verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him, and that is very important. And we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. And I think John there, as he is writing that, he's not being too political correct. He's just putting it out there. You can't say you have fellowship with God. And we get that. We understand that. And then we try to, and God is light, verse 5. And then we try to get over here in the darkness just a little bit in our lives. We cannot do that. We cannot walk in darkness on equality with the world and on the equality with sin and Satan and do that, or even get close to the shadows. You know, sometimes we can see where the shadow is, and we need to stay in the light. And I know folks I don't know why they want to gravitate toward the shadow, toward the darkness. We cannot do that. You know, there are folks who want to walk in darkness during the week. All week long, I'll live for Satan. I'll be out in the world. And then on Sunday, I want to come and be in the light and be with God. And we cannot do that. They're diametrically opposed. They're polar opposites as such. And then we get to verse 7, walking in the light. And we see somewhat a contrast here, but that indicates a contrast. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, and I see this as an if-then statement. He says, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light. What does that mean? What does walking in the light? Have you ever stopped and just contemplated the idea of that phrase, walking in the light, just to meditate on certain phrases and certain words in God's Word, and you were to have to articulate that to someone else to explain, you know, what does that involve? What all's in with that? And it's the idea of walking, to me, is walking in the sonship of God, you know, His Son. Walking in the sonship of Christ. Again, imitating Him, striving to be Christ-like in my life as I'm living each and every day. And also that word fellowship, and that's an important word to me. And I think it's because I like the Greek word koinonia. You know, we are the ecclesia. I preached a sermon on that once, the called out. We are the ecclesia that has koinonia, which is the fellowship, the sharing in common, being in a constant abode, being together. And I'll talk about that a little bit in some of my lessons this week. And it all revolves around the love we have for one another. And we'll get to that in just a moment here in the book of 1 John as we get over to chapter 3. But it's that desire to be together, to have fellowship. And we often, what comes to mind when you say fellowship? And oftentimes we say, oh, fellowship meal. Who doesn't love fellowship meal? And the food is always just delicious. And you always look forward to that. And in my mind, other than worship, and to me, worship is the highest form of fellowship that we can have with one another and also with God. And when we get our thinking, and I say this a lot at Fort Chiswell, and it's for me as much as it is for all our members, but when we think about what we do on Sunday, and a lot of times folks get up, well, get up, kids, it's time to go to church. We are the church. We get that, and we understand that innately. But when we say, folks, you know, kids, get up, it's time to go worship God, and we put it in those terms, and we think in those terms, what are we doing here? We're worshiping God. We're offering our worship to Him is the idea, and I'm sure Tim has covered this before and talked about this before, but it's the idea of getting our focus and our mind right, and we have that koinonia, that fellowship in worship, that fellowship in a fellowship meal, that fellowship one day in heaven. We will all want to be there together. And that's the idea, the goal ultimately, is to be with one another in heaven, having fellowship with one another, fellowship with God. And as such, you know, I think about folks that, you know, the verse 7 says we have that daily cleansing. And I want to get this point in real quick, if I may. I think I've got time. Sometimes we read 1 John 1 and verse 7, and we're walking in the light, and we're living the Christian life, and we're doing everything right, and we're worshiping as we're supposed to, and we're working with the church, and we're doing all those things, and we're getting it all right. And someone once said, okay, and now I'm living my life, and one day I'm in my car, and I get into a wreck, and right before, you know, I die in this wreck, and this cuss word, as we'll call it, a vulgarity comes out of my mouth, am I going to die and go to hell as such? You know, I've had folks put those scenarios before me. And I want to deal with that just very quickly. You know, someone say, well, you got to say a prayer real quick and ask for forgiveness of sins, or you will. You'll die and you'll go to hell. That's not the God I serve. Is it? That doesn't say it's okay now to do that type as far as the language. But maybe you said that, and that's just a one-time thing, perhaps. God looks at the totality of our lives. You know, I think of a denominational preacher years ago. Tim, are you familiar with Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? And he gives a picture, the fellow, I think I've got his name somewhere here in my notes, Jonathan Edwards. And he gives this picture, and I want you to see this. And he's got this picture in this sermon, and it's rough, I'm going to tell you. And the idea of God has this string, this thread, and at the end of it is a Christian as such. And he's dangling them. It's almost like over the fires of hell. And in the other hand, he's got a pair of scissors, and he's just waiting for that Christian to mess up. So he can just snip the string and just drop him, you know, I'm done with you. And drop them into the pits of hell. That's awful. And that's not the God we read about in the Bible. And so we make sure that, you know, as we're living, we're walking in the light. We're striving to the best of our ability to empty ourselves of ourselves. And we'll talk about that perhaps here in just a moment. And we fill ourselves with Christ. We walk in the light. And we strive to serve God and have that fellowship and do all those things as such in our lives. And I know folks who, they fail to obey the gospel because, well, I'm not good enough. I can't stay in the light. At least make the effort. And that's what we all do for one another. We struggle. We're human. And God knows that, and He understands that. And that's part of what John is writing about. If you fall short, you confess those sins. You lean upon one another. But let's move on. You can know that you're going to heaven if you walk in the light. But secondly, I want to go to chapter 2. If you prioritize your life. Now I want you to think about your life. All of us carry those little devices around. Cell phones. It used to be Palm Pilots. And sometimes I remember in the old dark ages when Dad would carry a little spiral-bound little pocket notebook and keep notes in it even. We do that. We have calendars. We have reminders. We have all kinds of things, you know, that help us to prioritize our lives. Tomorrow I've got a doctor's appointment. Tuesday I've got the kids, you got to get the kids to football practice. And Wednesday I've got Bible study. And Thursday I've got this. And Friday I've got that. And so on. And we've got lists and lists and things that help us to prioritize and keep us on track and keep us on schedule. The Bible does that too in our Christian living. There are reminders that help us to prioritize our lives, living for the Lord. And in chapter 2, and you drop down, you look at verse 15, 16, and 17. Very, it should be familiar to us. You know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world, and the world will pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God will abide forever.